All right, let's begin in prayer. Father God, thank you for what we've just heard already this evening. Thank you for the way that you speak to us. Lord, the way that you challenge us and the way that you change us. I pray, Lord God, that this evening as we hear from your word, as we open up our Bibles, Lord, may you speak into our hearts, into our lives. And may we be challenged by you and transformed by your spirit. Amen. All right, just a few little insights into what some people think about guidance and their future and how they know what's, or how they decide what's ahead of them. The question, what does God want for my future? I think Claire actually summed it up brilliantly. Good things is the answer, right? Actually, what does God want for our future? God wants good things for our future. That effectively is the answer. So I can just sit down now and we're done. Clearly, I'm not going to give you specifics about your own lives and what God wants for you individually. But the reality is that God wants good things for us. God wants good things for our lives. You know, we live in a world that is full of choices. We live in a world that's always changing, and it's seen as a great thing that we have so many options, right? We look around us and there's always more options, more choices, more decisions that we can make. But actually, you know, sometimes that can be a problem. Sometimes that causes more issues than things that it solves. As you know, I live a lot in the world of young people, and young people face a lot of choices, a lot of decisions. Probably the biggest issue that's up there for young people right now, actually not just young people, this goes for all people, is the whole thing about choosing your gender. You know, I'm not going to get into great depth on this one right now, because it's not what I'm here to talk about. But there's, you know, if you're not comfortable with being male or female, you can choose one of the other 53 or other possibilities that there are out there right now. You know, when I was younger, there were only two options, and you knew what you were straight away. Okay, whereas now there's so much choice, and there's so much variety, and there are so many decisions to make in our world. Every morning when I wake up, I have a decision to make. My first decision normally, and it goes for my boys as well, is we come downstairs for breakfast and it's like, what am I going to eat? What am I going to have for breakfast? You know, it's amazing how long that decision can take to come to an answer on. I don't know about you, but sometimes it can be like, you know, this has got to be a 15-minute, you know, really have a think about what cereal I'm going to have for breakfast. You know, there are so many choices in life. When we as a family came back from Ethiopia about 18 months ago, I remember, and I've told a number of people this story, I remember going back into Sainsbury's for the first time since being away, and I stood there in front of the bananas, because that's the first thing that you see as you walk into Sainsbury's, and I stood there for probably about 5 minutes, I can't remember, it kind of all time just kind of went somewhere else, as I just was in awe at the amount of choice. Like even just with the bananas, you know, there's just this huge stack of bananas and there's just an incredible array of choices in Sainsbury's. Sainsbury's has its own brand, which I'm sure you know. They have their own brand of Sainsbury's Basics. Did you know there are 700 lines of Sainsbury's Basics? 700 different options of things you can get which are just Sainsbury's Basics. They also do Buy Sainsbury's. For Buy Sainsbury's, there's 6,500 options of what you could get. They also do Taste the Difference. There's 1,141 different varieties of Taste the Difference. They do Be Good to Yourself, Deliciously Free From, So Organic. They do two. They do Sainsbury's Home, Home Collection, On the Go. And that is just what Sainsbury's themselves produce, not including all other brands and other options that we've got. The amount of choice out there in today's world is crazy. And as you could see, or you might have picked up from the clip, the way people make decisions about choices and about their future and about what's ahead of them can almost seem random at times. It can almost be like, just how I feel on the day. You know, if I feel good about that thing, that's what I might do. And I don't want to be flippant about that, because that's how a lot of people make their choices and make their decisions. Or they think, I'm going to go to someone wiser than me. That's not a bad option, is it? I'm going to go to someone wiser than me, someone who might know more, like my dad, or someone else who might be able to help me make a decision. But it's interesting to see how other people come to their choices or come to their decisions. Is it random, or is there a purpose to your life? Is there a purpose to what we're doing and why we're here and where our future where our future is held? If you've got a Bible, which you should have, because if you've not got one on you, there's one in front of you. I think it's always good to actually have a Bible open. I think it's a good thing. Philippians 2, I want to turn us to. I'm just going to read a few verses from Philippians 2, verse 12 and up to verse 18. And I might kind of, as I go through this, I might pause at different points and explain a little bit about what it's saying or what Paul is saying or trying to say at these certain points in the passage. So please bear with me if I pause as we go through. So from verse 12, it says this: "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Now, I love that verse, just to pause on that one for a moment. I love that verse. I love the whole concept that Paul is throwing out there, that we are to work out our salvation. You know, salvation isn't something that that just happens once we become a Christian. That's not it, done and dusted. There is a whole process that Paul is saying that we're involved in. Right, our salvation is being, we've got to work through it with fear and trembling. This is something that's a challenge, that's going to be an ongoing challenge for us as we go through our lives. We are working out our salvation day by day. Whether you've been a Christian for one day or for 50 years, you know, you are still working out your salvation you should be doing it with fear and trembling. You're continuing to grow. You're continuing to try and reach that place where you are more Christ-like in the way you live, in the things that you do, in the gospel that you preach. What I forgot to say was the first word is therefore in this passage. And therefore refers to what's before it. Okay, and what's before it is Paul is talking about living lives worthy of the gospel. Paul is talking about the humility of Christ and being Christ-like. And so Paul is now saying, and that's how you live out your life. That's what it means to be living as people who are working out their salvation with fear and trembling. It goes on. And this is the key verse, this next one for this part. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Let me just read those words again. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." You see, very clearly, Paul says, you're not just here by chance. This isn't just a random act that you, and you know, hopefully you'll make some right choices along the way. God has a plan and a purpose for you right now. God knows and he understands where he wants you to be in the future. And he wants to put that into action. Or he wants us to put that into action. And then verse 14, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me." You see, Paul makes it very clear about how God guides us and where our future lays or lies. It's in Christ. It's because of Christ. It's Jesus that's the one that we need to look to. It's Jesus that's the one who lived a life worthy of the gospel, and that's who we should be imitating. You see, I believe that we were all born to make an impact on this world, because that's why God's put us here, right? He's put us here for a purpose, to make an impact, to make a difference. Life is a gift. It's not just by chance. Life is a gift that God has given to each one of us. It's been said that the two greatest days of your life are the day that you were born and the day you find out why. The day that you were born and the day that you find out why. You see, I believe it matters not what we do, but who we are becoming. That's what's crucial. As we look to our future, it's not about what we do. You see, the problem I think, certainly that I have, and I think many other people do, is that we look at our future in terms of the things that we do. We look at our future in terms of all the different, where my job is, or where my house is, or the things that I'm doing in life, rather than who I am becoming. You see, actually, I believe Christ wants us to become more like him. That's where our future lies. Our future lies in becoming more Christ-like. And all those things that we are doing, God will work them out. God will see them through as we become more Christ-like. We want to be guided by the things we do, yet our focus should be on who we are becoming. And here's actually the thing that I want to really focus on right now for this evening. I think that's very easy to say, and it's easy to understand, okay? But the problem sometimes comes with hearing God's voice. The problem often comes with, okay, it's great that God wants to guide me, and God wants to lead me, and he's got a great plan for my future. But how do I actually know that? How do I actually hear God's voice? How do I understand what he wants for me? Now, I do this thing where I sometimes decide to just go for a wander through Hartford. And I do it as a kind of a nice little gentle stroll through Hartford, but also intentionally hoping that I'm going to randomly bump into people, if that makes any sense at all. But it happens so regularly that you just kind of walk through and then people bump into you and you just kind of end up in a conversation almost by chance, which is great and it's lovely. But I also get these moments, and this is a bit of a confession, I get these moments where I'm walking through town and someone comes towards me and they go, "Oh, hi Andy, it's really good to see you." And I look at them and I think, I've no idea who you are. but obviously I don't say that, all right? So I play this little game with myself. So I kind of walk up to them and say, "Hi, it's great to see you too." And then I start to ask general questions about them, about their family, about other people, in the hope that they're going to drop some kind of hint or drop something in there that tells me who they are. And the challenge for me is, how long is it going to take? How quickly can I work out exactly who this person is? I'm extremely embarrassed by this, but it genuinely happens. Fortunately, not that often, but I can blame it on my age now, I think. Maybe not. But I get to this point where suddenly I come to this realization, that's who you are. And then I start, and then I can really kind of engage a little bit more. But sometimes it takes a while. And the reason why it takes a while is because I probably haven't seen them for some time. Or I haven't been thinking, if I'm really honest, I haven't been thinking about them that much recently. Or I haven't spent that much time talking to them or sharing with them. Or maybe they just haven't been around for a while, or I haven't. At the same time, if I'm walking through town and say one of my boys, it's the end of school, imagine, and I'm walking through town and one of my boys with his friends walks behind me and starts talking, without me even seeing them, I would know it was one of my boys straight away. Right, I would instantly know it was them. I would hear their voice and I would know straight away, that's Caleb, or that's one of my boys. Because I spend my time with them, because they're the people that I care about, that I love, and that are on my mind all the time, and that drop their cups in the middle of my talk. because that's where my focus is, right? Day by day, my focus are on my family. They're on the people that are closest to me, the people that I love. And so I don't even need to see them to know that that's them. I always remember when, I'm not trying to embarrass my kids, but when they were babies, you'd hear a screaming child, or you might even hear like a lot of screaming children, and you could pick out your own child. You go, oh yeah, that's my son. Because I recognize that scream, because I hear it quite regularly. And that's the reality of when you spend lots of time with someone. Do you know it's exactly the same with God? My experience is it's exactly the same with God. If we spend 3 or 4 months and we've not sat down with God, or we've not picked up our Bible, or we've not had a time of quiet of just listening to God's voice on a regular basis, if we've not done that for months, and then we suddenly expect to hear God's voice nice and clearly and be able to be obedient to it, I think we're going to struggle. It needs to be a daily habit. It needs to be a continual process of having God on our mind, of wanting to hear God's voice, of spending our time sitting down and listening to what he might have to say to us. What does God want for our future? The easiest way to know what God wants for our future is to just spend much more time with God. Spend time regularly with God, and you will start to know, you'll start to hear his voice better. You'll start to understand what he wants for you. And you'll start to get to know him in a deeper way. I want to finish with a story of that Bill Hybels tells. I'm not going to claim this for my own. This is one of his stories, but it's good. And it's a story of an advertising executive that he knew. And he tells this story of this man. He comes at the end of church. This advertising executive comes up to Bill and just sees him at the front and has a quick chat with him. And the advertising executive says, do you know what? I don't have time for a meeting with God. I simply don't have time. You don't understand. My life is busy. I have to get up really early in the morning. And continually, I work through meetings all the way through the day, right up until the evening. I simply don't have the space and the time for a meeting with God. So Bill and the advertising executive, they spoke for a while, and then Bill finished by saying, do you know, I've always been able to take time or make time for the things that I value. I've always been able to make time for the things that I value. And the advertising executive went away disappointed, because he was a bit like, do you know what, I'm just telling you, I've not got the time and space, and now you're saying that I don't value God because I can't make time for him. 6 months later, the advertising executive comes up to Bill at the end of church again. And Bill says, you know, he looked different. He just had a bit of a glow about him. You know, he just seemed fresher and happier in his life. And he came up to Bill. They had a bit of a chat, and he invited Bill and his wife, Lynn, over for dinner. So they accepted, and they went round to his house for dinner. And as they arrived, as soon as they arrived, the advertising executive took Bill straight into the front room, and he took him over to this rocking chair that they had. I'm going to pretend it's this one here. He took them over to this rocking chair and said, "This is my rocking chair." And Bill's looking a little confused at this point. But he said, this is the chair. I love rocking chairs. So I bought a rocking chair. So Bill said, well, that's great. That's lovely, lovely for you. And he said, and I put it right here because right here I can see out into my back garden. And I get a beautiful view in my back garden. And, you know, every morning for between 15 and 30 minutes, I come downstairs, I grab my Bible, and I come down to the rocking chair. And I just sit in my rocking chair. And I sit there for a while, in quiet. And I spend a bit of time. I open my Bible. And I ask God to help me make sense of what it says in the Bible. I ask God to make me aware of his presence. And then I ask the question, God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do today? You see, this advertising executive recognized that he needed to change his routine if God was really his priority. He needed to change his routine. He needed to make time for God. And so Bill said to the advertising executive, well, how's that working out for you now? And before he could respond, his wife chipped in and said, well, his life has changed. You know, since he's been doing that, he's changed as a person. He's become more Christ-like, more loving, more caring. He's been thinking about others more. Anyway, they had their meal. A few months later, the advertising executive comes up to Bill again, and he says, I've decided I'm going to leave my job. And knowing that this was quite a big, high-pressured, high-powered job, earning a lot of money, Bill said, wow, that's a big move. That's a big thing to do. He said, yeah, I'm going to leave my job, and I'm going to start to work for the church. Now, this was in the early days. If you know anything about Bill Hybels' story, the early days of Willow Creek Community Church, and Bill said, well, that's great, but we don't have a job for you. You know, we haven't got any money to be able to pay you. And he said, well, I know that this is what God wants me to do. And he said, well, how do you know that? And he said, well, I've been sitting in my rocking chair every morning, and God told me that's what he wants me to do. You see, here's the thing. This advertising executive has spent day after day just listening to God. And he could go to Bill Hybels with great confidence, saying, I'm going to hand my job in and work for nothing because I have heard from God. And I know that that's what God wants me to do. So he did that. And he started working at Willow Creek Community Church for Bill Hybels. And years later, he goes to Bill and he says, well, I've got a friend starting a church in Colorado. And God's telling me to go to help start this church in Colorado. So Bill doesn't question him anymore. He understands, he recognizes what's going on. And so his friend gives up everything at the church and goes to work in Colorado. A few years later, Bill hears the sad news that his friend got cancer and sadly passed away. Bill was invited to go to take the funeral of his friend. And so he went down there, he took the funeral. And then after the service, the advertising executive's widow invited Bill over to the house. And he went into the house. And guess what he saw in the corner of the house? He saw the rocking chair. And he said to the widow, he said, what are you going to do with the chair? And she said, I'm going to tell everyone about the chair. Because if this chair, or the idea behind this chair, can change other people's lives the way it changed my husband's life, or if it can change one person's life the way it changed my husband's life, then that would make a huge difference. And I want to finish just by asking you the question, where's your chair? Where is your chair? As I look through the Gospels, as I look at Jesus' life, you know, Jesus had a chair. If you look at places like John 17 and Mark 1, 35, what does Jesus do? Jesus goes away and he finds a quiet place to pray. Jesus gets away from the crowds. And he prioritizes his Father because he knows he needs to hear from him. Jesus had a chair. Jesus' chair was away from the crowds, on his own with the Father. Where's your chair? I want to encourage you to find a place where you can learn to hear God's voice, where you can learn to get to that place where you can go to people and say, this is what God wants me to do, because I know and I understand the voice of my Father. Let me pray. Dear God, thank you. Thank you that you want to speak to us. Thank you that you have great plans for us. You have good plans for us, for our future. Lord, we are sorry when we've not spent time listening to you, when we've gone off and done our own thing because it's felt right, or because other people have told us it's the right thing to do. Lord, help us to find a place where we can sit with you, where we can be with you, where we can learn to listen to your voice and respond to your leading in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.